my friends. Never get so dumb to become after that podcast. Take my speakers out. Suck that.
All right, let's get it started. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kid Astronaut Podcast, episode 13. My guest today is one Native Son, one.
Yeah, you know. And first and foremost, I'd like to say all praise and thanks is due to the Most High. Shout out and respect to the ancestors and the elders, man. I got to bless every mic before I get busy on it, man, each and every time.
Yo, I was just watching, I just watched with my son Bob Marley concert. I don't know where he was, but he prayed before his set, you know, and prayed to Jah Rastafari, you know, for his religion. Yeah. And I thought that was so powerful. Like, I always have a prayer with my bandmates or anything before we, you know, start playing. But just seeing a man walk out on stage and then transform into a channel for God was really cool.
Yeah, you got to. You know what I'm saying?
So you're an MC?
MC. Poet.
Any other titles? Father, I think.
Black man in America.
There you go.
With three K's.
Okay. Tell the truth.
Nah, you know, I really don't do titles too well. I am whatever the moment calls for. You know, good friend. You know what I'm saying? I could be the guy changing trash. Mm-hmm. You know, cleaning restroom. You never know.
Wherever you need to be.
Yeah, to do good works. You
That's
just do.
All that matters.
You know what I'm saying? Straight up.
So, on your artistic side, though,
where
you've been doing a lot of shows with some real legends.
Man, hey! Once again, all praise and thanks is due to the Most High. I've been blessed. I've had the opportunity to rock some stages with some legends, man. I mean, and that's the funny thing is, the legends embrace me. Mm-hmm. More so than the layman's within my local area, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that as a kind of, you know, stated around Denver, maybe right now more so than before, but I think we are kind of at a lull with the way that we're supporting shows, you know?
And
so what do you think we could do about that?
It's all based upon the individual, honestly. Like, you know, if you know me, I do my best to support. Like I just work today. Even though I work at night, I usually attend some type of show,
okay,
whether it's a local show or a big name show, because once again, every time I do an interview, I like to emphasize this fact. It's all about relationships.
Yeah.
And you cannot have a relationship if you are not present. Mm-hmm. You have to be present. You have to show up. You have to, you know, give that love if you want to receive that love in return. And I believe that the issue that we're having right now stems from so many artists throughout the years. You know what I'm saying? I probably, through my time of spending a few years within the scene, I probably could name a couple hundred rappers. That's just rappers, R&B singers. Now, I don't even, you know, do rock or that, though I may end up at a show, you know? I support musicians as well.
Right.
And so people tend to section themselves off and go support, not by way of being a fan, by liking the music, but their friends or family, a specific artist.
Sure.
So then I think some people feel that they're doing their people wrong if they support another artist. You know what
really?
I mean?
Okay.
I think sometimes people have that conflict.
Yeah.
And also
brand loyalty.
Yeah. And the demand on our time is different now too.
Okay.
We don't have much time. You know, a lot of us are busy at work, man.
Sure.
You know, trying to make a living. And as you know, rent here is at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. Seems like it's only getting higher. You know, we got a lot of problems that we need to fix politically as well before people are like, hey, okay, I'll go to the show. Here's 20 bucks.
That's
here's
not something
10
that
bucks.
Our mind might be on at this current moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's on what it should be on, you know, trying to provide a home for your family,
right?
Food,
but
expenses.
We still need entertainment. We still need
we
art,
still do
culture.
We still do, and also it's been a while. So you know, Denver is a hub, and it's dense. Like the quality of art and everything here is dense. So if you're just only from here, you wouldn't realize it. But if you've been other places, you would realize like it's dense with musicians and with art.
We got a lot of people here.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people take it for granted. You know, just like any of us, man, when we do something daily, we tend to become complacent.
Yeah.
You know, so I've watched it. I mean, you've probably watched it too. You play in a band. So mm-hmm. people just don't appreciate live music like they should.
Yeah. In some pockets, I see it happen, but I think overall as a city, I definitely hope that we do create those spaces and have the support as artists where we could, you know, be artists and have fans at our shows.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
It takes both sides of that.
You just got to get creative with those marketing dollars.
Absolutely.
That's where it lies, too.
Yeah.
Is your marketing strategy.
Yeah.
And those marketing dollars.
And as artists, we can't complain about it either.
Nah.
It's like, do what you got to do.
If you are an artist, you know what I'm saying? And if art is what's at heart. Mm-hmm. Because the complainers tend to be the people that want, that are just trying to rush to the money.
Yeah.
The people that are all about the art are just glad to be able to present and do what they do.
And they'll go through those hard knocks.
Yeah. But the best thing about being here is you have a place you can do it. So that's a message to anybody that watches this that does reside in the Denver area. Please understand that these venues take care of you. There is a place for you. If you want to get on stage, you can.
Yeah.
If you're smart enough and you go about it in the right way, you can get there. Because that's what it's about. Relationships.
Yeah.
And how you build those relationships. And that's also why I've been blessed this summer to have so many shows, because I spent so much time building relationships and then they all came to fruition like at the same time as I proceed and move forward.
So Devin the Dude, KRS-One, let me see, who else did I see on your page recently? But yeah, talk about that, man. Like, what has that experience been? I'm assuming you're a big hip hop fan, so those artists
big hip hop
the world to you, you know?
Hip hop is my love. Word. It's my culture. It's my craft. It's not something I do. It's something I live moment by moment. And this summer so far, you know, as far as the greats, it's been Talib Kweli.
Yeah, I saw that.
I've done a show with Zero.
Okay.
I did Devin the Dude, Busy Bone.
Yep.
KRS-One coming up. And then Keith Murray with Def Squad in September. And it's just in my plans to keep adding to that list. Just let the list go on. Because from a personal standpoint, you know, and major keys right here, all right?
Okay.
I find that it's better to do shows with established artists than trying to
build your way up.
Than do a lot of local shows. Because it's not a build. Because when you do a lot of local shows, or they tend to pack in the local talent, and then the people attending are just friends and family of those local artists.
Right.
So how many
making new fans?
How many genuine fans are you generating from placing yourself on these
that
platforms?
That is a major key right there.
You know? So take the time to, you know, whatever it takes to open up for more established artists. And your goal is to target that crowud because they're from here. You're from here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you let them know, hey, well, I'm here all the time, you know, for your hip-hop
needs. Yeah. So is that the goal for you, to become a hip-hop legend, man? Or are you?
That is my goal. I'm gonna just be honest with you, my brother.
Yeah, please.
For me, as an artist, this is seriously my heart. When I was young, I was very, very poor. I couldn't afford instruments.
Mm.
I wanted one so bad. I tried one time. They had free instrument, right? I wanted to do drums. Or sax. I've always loved the sax.
Really? Okay.
Honestly, I'm a big fan. People that play sax. And at my Talib Kweli show, I had a sax player with me, man.
Okay.
His name's Sivan Hope. Excellent. And I did an acapella piece mixed with the sax. It was wonderful, man. Wonderful. But so my voice became my instrument.
Yep.
My voice became my instrument. And poetry just came naturally. And I didn't know it until I was in middle school, I believe. I was in middle school. I ended up getting in trouble. I had got sentenced to 2 years in juvenile. I had got sentenced in 2 years in juvenile for aggravated robbery. Like, I grew up rough, you know? I'm originally from Los Angeles. Like, I'm the real deal.
We're out here.
You know? Seriously. And not to brag or not that I'm overly proud. I'm just, you know, giving my truth and my story. And while in there, I had an English teacher. And she put me to the challenge of writing. And I wrote, came back. She was like, this is amazing, you know? This is, and that's where I really discovered that I could do it on a consistent basis. And then I also knew when I was real young as well, because when I was real young in elementary school, I entered a poetry contest. And it was a national one and ended up winning.
Cool.
You know? I've also won state poetry champ. I competed in forensics in high school later on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
What's up, Lizzie?
Most definitely. Oh, peace, love, and blessings to Lizzie Brody, my girl. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Much respect. Yeah.
So you won a poetry competition? And yeah. From there, just how did it... Because poetry is a little bit different than the art of like hip hop songwriting, you know. Well, so when did it start to dive over?
Well, I've always had a natural talent. There's three things that I use to describe myself: skill, which is something built over time; talent, which is, you know, natural; and ethos. And ethos is a Greek word, Latin word, which stands for character and credibility. Okay. It's used heavily in the business world. So maintaining these stations is what I build myself upon. So when I was real young, my mother, like I said, I'm originally from California, Los Angeles. She worked at the Plaza Hotel, which is downtown LA. So when the stars would come in, that's where they would stay. And she was a head of maintenance. Okay. Or head engineer or something like that. But I had the pleasure when I was real young of meeting, you know, MC Hammer. Really changed my life. Michael Jackson. Like, it was just an experience just to see so many black people move in unison. And you know, actually got to talk with these people. Like, I even reached back, you know, Sankofa. Reached back and reconnected with MC Hammer. So now we talk sometimes on Twitter. He's my friend on Twitter. You know, he follows me back. It's just important, man. The culture is important. Can't let our people die out, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or go forgotten. Yeah. And all the work that they put in so we could be where we're at today so easily.
Yeah, that's also a testament to these artists, man, because a lot of time in the art world, you might see people kind of creating a barrier around themselves. They don't want to talk to people. You know, yeah. They want to create that air of mystery or whatever.
Yeah, true.
So it's very cool to know that an artist like MC Hammer, like, would still, you know, remember somebody and reach out to them. I think that's an important lesson for artists, you know, like, that it means something to you and that somebody else who is a big name could kind of open themselves up in that way to somebody else. You never know where that could... who that can impact, you know, down the line. Just
and
being
that's, a, and that's your duty.
Yeah.
That's your duty, right? As an artist, to touch people.
Yeah.
I think that's significantly what you're trying to do as an artist is utilize that as a catalyst to communicate.
Right.
You're communicating something, trying to touch people. And then nowadays, with the advancement that we have through social media and all these other tools, you have to be more up close and personal, whether you want to or you don't. You know, because if you refrain from giving so much of yourself, more than likely somebody eventually will attempt to paint and maintain a bad image over you. Just naturally, as you can tell by being on the internet, a lot of negativity.
Tell your own story or somebody will
tell your own story. Period.
For you.
Period. That's that. You don't even gotta be famous to see how that happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just happens in everyday life.
Yeah. So the last time we were we met up was at an event hosted by Akil down at Axum Park.
Yes.
And we were talking about you kind of brought up this point about the future of blackness and
true.
Kind of focusing more on like what's next versus true. Where we've been.
True.
So yeah, I would like to dip into that more.
Well, the specific point I believe I was making that day was, I believe that many of us that define ourselves as quote unquote black are addicted to fighting for black rights. You see what I'm saying? It's not so much the solution anymore that a lot of us just want an excuse.
The battle phase.
We just want an excuse to raise a ruckus and feel as though we're right. We feel like we have something legitimate, so we run in the streets yelling, screaming, doing this and doing that without really paying attention to what it is we want and what can we do moving forward.
Sure.
You know, it's not like even if we were granted the things that we believe it is we want, we're still going to have to face general issues. Mm-hmm. Everything don't go away if everything was black. We're still going to have debates. We're still going to have people on the left, on the right, on the up, on the down, on the...
What do you think is the... What do you think, like, coming from, like, if you had to encapsulate what the issue is that people are talking about, what do you think the issue is, and then what do you think it would look like to for us to move forward?
Well,
like, what is the black right that people are speaking about?
It's different things in different areas. Basically, it's this particular term that we have. It's freedom. All right. I'm going to tell you one poison that we don't recognize, and it's called nostalgia. All right. It's a poison. Too much of it will kill you. You know, it will kill your reality because we have an idea of how things are supposed to be, as opposed to paying attention to the reality. We have no idea how people lived in ancient Kemet.
We don't.
Honestly, we have these romantic ideas, mm-hmm. and these nostalgic innuendos that we use. But honestly, we have no idea what it was like to be there every day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
is a part of that issue because I guess I'm unsure of who the onus is on. In the way that you're speaking about it, because to us, it's, or to me, it's like that isn't necessarily our fault. Like, I feel like a lot of the culture and the history of black people, our contributions to society, our contributions as to humanity, have been purposefully covered over.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they have been.
So I think in a lot of ways, it's up to us to tell these stories or to extract.
And that's fine to tell a story. Mm-hmm. But as to look to that as your source of immediate guidance, you see what I'm saying? Because the story is important in your meditation as you proceed forward.
Right.
You have to decide now, what do I need? What do I need now? That's if we look in the past, right? Mm-hmm. If we think and we think in the past, and I'm not saying I was using that as an example. It's not just Kemet, just any society, even Europeans, they have nostalgic idealism about, you know, Vikings or Celtic culture and things of that nature. But I'm saying, like, if we think of a man a long time ago, well, he traveled. How did he travel? By horseback, and he got there quicker. Well, we have vehicles and we have planes now. We have to find those comfortable mediums. We need to be present in each moment and deal with each issue accordingly. Mm. My predominant issue, because I grew up, when I was young, I was really Afrocentric. Like, yeah, you know, whitey. And my mother is European, you know what I mean? Mm. And I grew up with just my mother, right? Mm. In the hood. But the main reason is because I'm always getting arrested, beat on by police, like harassed, you know? They used to pull over. I'd be at the park. They'd be like, get off the grass. I'm at the park, man, and things of that nature. But my goal is we need to identify these invisible ceilings and this invisible hand that is preventing us from being able to look at ourselves, look at our situation, and utilize our resources in order to enhance our standard of living.
Yeah.
That's where the problem rests.
I think there's, like, I agree. You know, I'm all about taking personal responsibility and self-accountability. I think a lot of it and a lot of the reason why I wanted to talk about it was because this has been a discussion recently for me, like with the issue around reparations and who should get reparations. And then we have Kanye, who's like, 400 years of slavery, that sounds like a choice. You know, like, we purposefully are putting ourselves in these situations. So my frustration now, like, with Five Points being gentrified or, you know, just in general, like, the conversation around Africa, like, I've never been, but I know it's not a shithole country. Like, it's a continent, number one. So there's...
many countries.
There's tons of Africa.
There's a lot of wealth there.
So, like, what is the narrative that we can speak on about ourselves, and how can we empower ourselves to... It's like, you know, do we want to hold on to this community? Do we want to be, like, is the fight even necessary? Because after a while, it does get draining to always be like, you know, this is ours. We're trying to protect our you know, it's just like at some point, like, you know, black people want to watch Netflix and, you know, hang out too. Like, yeah. But we do have this other bigger fight that we're working against. Like,
gotta find healthy ways to move forward.
It seems like there's a lot going on.
And
for
that's
us.
What I'm saying. Are we trying to push and fight for our goals and our dreams? Or are we trying to fight and push in order to mimic someone else? You get what I'm saying? To mimic a way of life in which has been set on top of our heads. While we've been present in terms of creating the devices and instruments and industry in which they use, we have not been at the helm of putting it together.
Right.
We weren't involved in those conversations, except at specific and critical junctures, our voice would be heard. And then it would be covered up and it'd be tucked away. You know what I'm saying? Before, I think if we were having this conversation 600 years ago, we wouldn't even be classifying ourselves as black or white.
True.
We have to remember that our ancestors didn't see things in terms of color, but in terms of nationality, you know? So finding that national identity is important.
Yeah. So, what in your head or in your perspective, what are the steps that you would like to take as far as moving forward? Because I mean, is it about race for you, or is it about nationality? Like at this point,
for me personally, we're just peopling other people. You know, I'm a human being. I've grown to comprehend that.
Yeah.
It's just the color, and that's just the difference. What matters is what we do at each critical juncture within our lives and within our community as we come together and we face the issues that we have presented.
So do you think other races are a part of that growth and identity, or is that?
Yeah, they're definitely, because by force, I mean, when you walk out your door, if your neighbor is another color, it doesn't matter. That is your neighbor. So you can hate them or love them, you still breathe the same air. If they get sick, you get sick. If they make poor decisions, those poor decisions will affect you.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. We have to move past holding on to a nostalgic feeling of we want our rights, we want our freedom, we want. Which is a fight, which I'm saying is a good fight. But some people aren't in it for the solution. They're just in it because they want to be disruptive. We have to find healthy ways in order to come together and try to undo this mental sickness, which has been implemented within us since birth.
I always ask this question on my podcast, but what does the future look like to you? Say everything, you know, these intentions that you're setting out into the universe, say that they did come true. So what would that world look like?
We would be working in unison together without holding each other back. We would be communicating
white, black,
a lot better.
Asian.
That wouldn't even exist. I think that in terms of nationality, it would exist just for the sake of identification.
Sure.
You know, as we move about and move along. But honestly, we would just be working together to ensure that we all gain the best experience that
life
can,
possible.
Period. Because we are here to do one thing. Honestly.
And what's that?
Make choices.
Okay.
See, because the gift isn't life. The gift is choice. And life is the package in which it is wrapped inside. You're here to make choices. So it is wrong for me to prevent another person from making their choices and learning from those choices. Only in the event that those particular choices would put me at a detriment.
Yeah, infringe upon
in
your
terms of health,
yeah,
finance, and things. Then it's time for litigation, mediation, and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But for me to seek to control people and force them into a way, it's wrong. Because they're here to make choices. To inhibit a person's ability to choose would almost be one of the most ultimate sins, which is oppression.
What do you think was the catalyst for you turning from more of like an Afrocentric, which in today's day and age, it's cool to be proud of who you are and where you're from.
Straight up.
But I think there could be a blockage in the sense that I don't fuck with white people. I don't talk to anyone else, you know?
It's so just what foolishness.
What was the catalyst that was in knowledge your particular life?
Knowledge and realization. Hmm. I mean, people are going to be people. You know, and we often do forget because we have these nostalgic pictures painted. I wasn't present during slavery. Were you present during slavery?
No.
Do you see what I mean? So we have no idea.
I'm glad I was not.
And I want to make a couple points here. So we have no idea how they lived in day-to-day life, how their lives were. And I'm going to tell you this right now, that actual slavery was better than this current economic slavery, right? And I'm gonna tell you why. Because in actual slavery, you had to house your slaves and you had to feed your slaves. You had to. In economic slavery,
you ain't gotta do shit.
You make your slaves pay to house themselves,
yeah,
and to feed themselves.
Yeah. Just give them their $15 an hour or less and
period.
Call it a day.
Period.
And then take some money off for taxes.
Period.
Yeah, it is.
Period.
It is worse.
And the major, a lot of.
I don't know if I would say worse. I'm not getting beat out here, but I'm sure there are.
Well, it's not. But you can get beat, and people are still getting killed.
That's true.
You know? So, and we don't know exactly how many people were killed, beat, what for, why, when, where, what. We got to remember that at all stops, there's people seeking to manipulate you and gain control of your thought processes. In a fashion that you wouldn't even think. So you're like, oh, I want a house. Would you want a house if you never knew houses existed? Mm. That's what I mean, moving forward. Like, we're like, oh, I just want to have a nice place where I can sleep and have my house and have my kid. Are those your ideas? Mm. Do those stem from you?
Right.
Is that something that you would have created naturally, absent the influence of what you see all the time?
Yeah.
You know, so we just have to take what we're experiencing now and move forward. Now I think black solidarity is important, mm-hmm, in order to offset what has been done. Mm. And that is something which is specifically unique to the black man or the melanated man here within the continent of North America.
As it currently stands.
In the United States. Yeah. Because we're unique. You gotta understand that we're very unique. When we go to Africa, we're looked at differently. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? They look at these slaves, right? And we forget during slavery that there were tribes that overtook other tribes and sold their brother, mm-hmm, into slavery. All right? That was already taking place and happening. Now, the treatment over here was horrendous, but slavery's been around a long time. And what we call slavery from a long time ago really looked like what we may call employment today.
Yeah, indentured servitude.
Like I said, if you was a slave back then, at least your master, at least your boss gave you a house and some food. Mm. Your boss don't do that no more. You're basically working just to house yourself and to have food. I mean, we have to pay attention to our individual unique issues and meet those head on and not be withheld from accessing those resources. That's where the problem is. That's why I have a problem with what we know as white supremacy.
How did you move through the the pain and injustice of it? That's something I'm still kind of dealing with, is the traumatic effect of just seeing a black kid get shot or something.
That's the goal. I recognize that that's the goal. There is something called a trauma trance.
Okay.
You experience trauma, you go into a trance.
Yeah.
State. Like if a bomb blew up here right now, whoa, and we was all running, and I ran outside and I said, let's go this way, safe. Most people would probably follow me, but they don't know me from left, right, up. They don't know what I'm doing.
Sure.
So that's the goal, is to utilize fear and trauma in order to set people in a specific... to set them in a trance so they can have control.
So you're not really thinking for yourself.
You're not cognitively present. You're just...
Interesting.
That's the goal, you know what I'm saying? For some people, because there is people that ain't right. I learned that in life through going to prison. You know, I was sentenced to 5 years in prison for cannabis. I served 4. I learned that there are people who are inherently evil. As human beings, we have a problem of allowing things into our realm of actuality that we don't specifically practice. Like, if you're a loving person, you think everybody loves, everybody's love. No, there's literally people that hate 24/7. You wouldn't even believe that. There's people that eat.
Oh, I believe that shit.
There's people that eat other human beings, right? And they do it and they don't think nothing is wrong with it.
Yeah.
They literally do it just all the time. I don't know their standards. I haven't met any person, but I'm saying there is.
Yeah.
There's literally, I met being in prison, there's literally people who have indecent behaviors with children. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how could you?
Yeah.
And that ain't even a question for them. They believe that behavior is okay. Yeah. They condone it.
So what is that? I mean, how do you move forward knowing that the world is not as, you know, rose-colored glasses as you want it to be?
I'm a big believer in inducing trauma.
Inducing trauma?
Yeah, I'm being honest. Okay, it's like this. I used to have this saying. Now it's just a saying. It sounds a little hard, but honestly, best for you to beat your kids before the world does. Okay. Because at least you'll have more compassion. You got to introduce your children to trauma so they become acclimated. You see what I'm saying? To the toxicity that they will enter into
later.
You know what I mean? So you give it to them in portions. You give them stressors. You introduce
that. I took my son to Black Panther, and we watched the This Is America video. And I didn't know what This Is America was. I probably wouldn't have shown him that. He's like two.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, you know, I'm still going to show you love. I'm still going to show you support. And maybe you'll see that the world is half this way, half this way.
It's all on him.
Yeah.
As parents, I'm going to say, I believe, you know, from what I've experienced since we've met, you know, paying close attention to your platforms, I have a huge amount of respect for you as a father, man. Seriously. Cheers. I just want to tell you that, man.
Thank
Seriously,
you.
Man. You do an excellent job with your son. He's a great dude, man. Has the light of his world in his eyes. You know what I'm saying?
I got two boys.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Was that your youngest that I normally see?
No, that's my oldest, actually. They were born 6 months apart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a father, you're going to learn that you're here as a guide. That at the end of the day, there's one little thing that you will never be able to get in the way of.
What's that?
Their ability to choose. They're going to have to make those choices on their own.
Yeah.
I am really, really big on this. So just to give it an age limit, you know, being loving, caring, supportive, all of that. Not as strict until they hit the age of 7. All right. Now, in Islam, the age of 7 and a lot of other ancient religions, the age of 7 is when you become cognitive enough to be responsible for your own actions. Otherwise, you never know what may be filtering through your child, you know, or what they may have seen or what they could have been. So they're not held accountable, but they believe the account starts at the age of 7. So then my goal between 7 and 13 is being as strict as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. It's being as strict as I possibly can because I understand that once they hit 13, it's going to be on them. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be there 24/7. They're going to be a teenager. Operating here in America at school doing their thing, and it's gonna be on them to understand the weight and importance of their decision making.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? No matter what that may be.
I kind of wish I had somebody to provide some like discipline and structure in my life, because I feel like I grew up kind of just like not really having those boundaries. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily a bad thing, but I could also see the importance of having somebody to remind you to be disciplined. Like, discipline is almost a freedom in a way,
because
it's like I can get my shit done, and then I have this ability to do all these other things because I'm not concerned about what hasn't, you know.
It is. Discipline's important.
Behind. Yeah.
Self-discipline is important.
Yeah.
Because it helps you navigate life. it's more of a tool than a hindrance.
Yeah.
And it's best that we implement that in our children. Me as well. I wish I would have had somebody there to give me some discipline.
Right.
Because I was out running the streets.
You always wish for it, like, later, you know?
Yeah. And I was out running the streets, serious, running the streets, like, serious. Mm. Doing things like... Now when I see children that are at the ages of when I was busy, I'm talking about around 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
I mean, I was busy, active in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Had weapons. Was smoking blunts regularly. Had smoking cigarettes like crazy. Matter of fact, the adults used to always come to me because I used to always go to the store, steal cartons of Newports.
Yeah.
And I would just keep them in my Nintendo 64 box. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. Always had two packs of cigarettes on me because I was smoking like crazy. Always had some weed on me. This is way before it's legal or whatever or whatnot. You know what I mean? Just doing whatever. Drinking. Sleeping around. You know what I'm saying? I'm 12, 13 years old. I'm with women that are 21, 22. You know what I mean? Because I was growing up too fast. I was trying to grow up too fast, man.
One native someone. What does that mean?
Well, the ones are silent.
Okay, so it's just native son.
The ones are an aesthetic. It's just native son.
Okay.
It's just native son. And if you'll notice, the native son is composed of seven letters. N-A-T-V-S-O-N. That's how I spell it. Seven letters. And V is the central letter. V is also the number 7 in Arabic numerals. Now 1 plus 7 plus 1 is 9, which is a complete 9. If you know anything about numerology. So the ones also represent polarity in life. It also represents the transition of oneness breaking into many, returning back into one. And that's the basic process that everything goes through, even thought. You start with a thought, which gets broken down into millions of sub-thoughts in order to bring you to a conclusion. Mm. So it's an aesthetic, and it has
wrapped
a lot of esoteric principles,
yeah.
Honestly, you know what I mean? Mm. And the other correlations that you can make is, you know, the N on each side is the first consonant that you meet moving from the one. And then also the next two letters after the N is one vowel and one consonant. You know, the AT on one side, the SO on the other. So you know what I'm saying? That harmony. It's just bringing harmony. It's a good feeling. I feel like it's a blessing.
Yeah.
When the way I write my name for people to see and experience my name. And people always tell me, like, they'll be like, for marketing purposes, you should just spell it all out. I'm like, then
that's
it wouldn't
not what
be
it's
me.
About. Yeah.
This is important to me.
Right.
This is one thing I hold on to. Is it's all lowercase, capital V.
Yeah.
One dash N A T V S O N dash one.
Are you a spiritual person, religious person? Like, where do you
very, very
place
spiritual.
Yourself in that?
Very spiritual. Very spiritual. You know, I grew up, my mother being Christian, attending church, different churches. And then me, myself, at a young age, I decided to accept Islam and become Muslim.
Cool. Islam means peace.
Well, it means beyond that.
Beyond
that. Islam actually means the establishment of peace through submission unto the Most High.
Okay.
In Arabic, a lot of one word what means a lot in our language. So that's what it means, the establishment of peace through submission unto the Most High.
Right.
You know, the word salam means peace.
Mm-hmm.
But Islam, which Muslim is a derivative, Muslim being one who finds peace through submission
to the Most High.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then there's multiple names of God in Islam as well, I've heard.
Correct. There's 99 names and attributes.
Yeah. I just heard about that. Shout out my homie Abdul.
Correct.
He was breaking it down.
There's also a dua. And by dua, that means minor supplication in English.
Okay.
So it's not like a formal prayer. But a generalized prayer, something you just say to yourself, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually called upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using, he said, Ya Allah, by whatever name anyone has ever called you, because there's no one name. You cannot bring the infinite into an actuality, because then it becomes finite.
Limiting. Yeah.
And we can never comprehend the infinite, us being finite beings. We can never comprehend within its entirety. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And to attempt to contemplate that which is beyond contemplation can sometimes just lead us down a bad road. Mm. And I'm going to be honest with people. I'm big on theology and philosophy.
Yeah.
So Buddhism, Christianity, pretty close to like Judaism, Taoism, these Zoroastrian, Hinduism, and I don't like using isms, but these different belief systems do generally bring forth specific principles within the man to be able to cope with life and himself, to discover unto himself the best way of living. These are, in Islam, we call this deen. Be on your deen, and this is a way of life, your way. Mm-hmm. That's what sometimes we'll say, to you be your way and to me be mine, you know what I mean? But through the discipline of Islam, I call them disciplines. Okay. I don't utilize the term religion as much, but they're all just different disciplines. A lot was made clear. You could learn the clarity of a thing by coming up through that system known as Islam, because the same filters ain't on it as in Christianity, because Christianity was warped and turned into a method specifically used to control
people.
You know what I mean? So it hinders you from developing your individual cognitive skills
and finding divinity. In my mind, I feel like people are more interested in the dogma than the presence of God within themselves.
Some, but then some aren't. Like, some person that you'll be like, wow, I got a high level of respect, because they broke. And if you yourself read the Bible, I mean, you can read any book and find deliverance within it. You know what I'm saying? Even a fictional tale
can teach you a story. Personally, you know, like something that changed my life.
Yeah, and I have a song that's about almost the same thing. It's called it's called Bury You. You know, they want to bury you. I think they scared of you. Knowledge and wisdom are the victims of this era. Who dare contest? Now tell me, why does an X mark the placement of a treasure chest? Why does an X mark the placement of a treasure chest? Because the treasure isn't important, because it's always within you. It's the nature of the journey. Then you find out what the true treasure is. Hmm. That you already have everything that you need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You already were born naturally with an immune system, with this system. You already have everything that you need.
Seriously. You mind, before we go?
Yeah, well.
Do you mind just spitting like a full poem, a full piece?
A full piece?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind. I think
Native Son.
I'm gonna do this one. It's called They're Watching, right? They're watching, they're looking. They're watching, they're looking at me. They're watching, they're looking. They're watching, they're looking at you, at you, at you. The greatest ambition, intuitive depiction of how I picture I while being so particular. Define the premonition of a gifted kid lifted to a seat so complete with no concrete vision of how. Only what I'm getting in the now, my redemption from these trials and trying to make it where I'm not trying to make it for the day that I go out. And finding what the hell everyone keeps talking about while they're walking about, walking without, while stomping around. If somebody got some problem, they'll be talking without, because I ain't talking it out. Fall calm here, salam, a blunt up in my palm, and I'll be sparking it now. navigate through a crowd, communicate my present state for high stakes. For heaven's sakes, my constitution states I'm one hell of a guy, minus two-fifths of my free state. I bring the fire when it's dire straits. So if the bottom scrape, it's progress at a constant rate. So if your eyes on me, you better mimic and get it. I'm never finished. For a minute, I've been in for this, so my shit is infinite. Don't be acting like you innocent, like you an immigrant to ignorance, violating your own intelligence. I proceed with elegance, so it's on you when the cannon tips. They're watching, they're looking. They're watching, they're looking at you. They're watching, they're looking. They're watching, they're looking at you, at you, at you. And that's just one little piece off of there, man.
Let's go.
One little piece off of there, man.
Thank you so much, man. Shout out to Brother Jeff.
This yeah, is major cafe. Shout out. Yeah, we in Brother Jeff's building right now, man, the cultural center.
Yeah.
And if you consider yourself to be a member of the community here within Denver, I said a member of the community.
Yeah.
I didn't say black. I didn't say purple. I just said member of the community. Then this should definitely be one of the stops on your list. It just surprises me so many people who grew up here but never stopped by here.
Yeah.
Because it's rich in culture and information. And Brother Jeff works diligently in acquiring information and processing that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's
and like figuring a one-stop out ways shop. To share it.
And figuring out ways to share it, man. Much love and respect to the Brother Jeff, man. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Native Son.
Hey, man. Appreciate you, Kid Astronaut, for having me, man.
That was it. Be well.
Peace, love, and blessings, and honorable mentions to anyone who decides to view this session. You in the house with one NATVSON. One.
Peace.
We out.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.